Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Let's go to John, the first chapter. We want to give Jesus the highest praise, because he is higher than everything else, because he created everything else. Everything that exists is the result of him. John chapter 1 says it all. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. You jump over to verse 14, and it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Then it says, John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, talking about John the Baptist. So who is the Word that became flesh? It's Jesus. So Jesus is the Word. Jesus is a manifestation of the Word of God. So if we're going to put Jesus above all, then we're going to put the Word above all. How do we get to know Jesus? Get to know the Word. Jesus said, if you've seen me, or seen the Word, you've seen the Father. That's how we get to know God. The number one way we get to know God is according to the Word, because the Word is accurate. It's more accurate than your personal experiences in life. Lots of folks have all kinds of experiences, and then they make doctrine out of it. They develop teaching that says, you know, this is how God is, and this is what God does, and this is what God doesn't do. And it's based on experiences. It's based on what they've seen happen before. And it's not based on the Word, the Bible. We got to stick with the Word of God. I said we got to stick with the Word of God. Be sticklers for the Word. Stick with the Word. Don't get away from the Word of God. If you want to stay close to God, you got to stay close to his Word. If you're going to stay close to Jesus, you got to stay close to the Word. A lot of folks think they're close to Jesus, and what they're close to is just some kind of feeling. Some kind of what they think is a spiritual experience. But you got to watch it, because there are all kinds of spirits in this world. We see that in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John, the fourth chapter, warns us about that. Verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. Well, we could say, do not believe every spiritual sensation or feeling. Don't believe every spiritual vision. There's a lot of folks that have had or claim they've had all kinds of visions of angels coming to them and telling them things, and doctrines have been built on it. And there are world religions that are built on all kinds of experiences that someone had. He says, beloved, do not believe every spirit. Even though it's spirit, doesn't mean it's to be believed. There are a lot of lying spirits in this world. I'm not just talking about human beings. I'm talking about spiritual beings. There are lying spirits. There's all kinds of spirits. The Bible lists many, many, many spirits. So just because it's spiritual doesn't mean it's God. Just because it's spiritual doesn't mean it's Jesus. So he says, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Well, how do we test the spirits? What's the number one way that we test spirits? You put them up against the Word of God. You put them up against the Word of God. You don't put them up against just another spirit or another feeling. You put them up against the Word of God. Now, thank God, God has given us His Holy Spirit. Through faith in Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit. And He is to live in us. He is to lead us and to guide us in life. He's to speak to us. We're to hear His voice. We're to be led by the Spirit of God. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. If you're a child of God, maturing in the things of God, then you're to be learning to be led by the Spirit of God. But there are a lot of spirits. There's a lot of false spirits. How can we tell the difference? Well, the Holy Spirit will never speak contrary to the Word of God, because He's God. God and the Word are one. So if the Spirit speaks contrary to the Scriptures, to the Word of God, it is not the Spirit of God. And of course, we got to watch out for spirits that like to speak half-truths. They'll give you a little Scripture, but it's not consistent with the Word of God. Any Scripture can be taken out of context to say whatever anybody wants it to say. That's why you have to know the Word of God. You have to humble yourself and allow God to teach you His Word. You got to seek Him in the Word. You've got to love His Word. You got to love the truth. Love the truth. Jesus said in John 17, the Word is truth. Let's go to John chapter 7. In verse 17, Jesus was ministering. And how many people know Jesus didn't always minister to a very welcoming crowd? I mean, he had some rough audiences, some rough congregations that he had to teach. But he made this statement in verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but His who sent me. In other words, I didn't come up with this teaching you're hearing. This isn't something I figured out. He says, it is of Him who sent me. If anyone wants to do His will, he will know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. So we're seeking the glory of God. We're not seeking our own thing. We're not looking for the Bible to tell us what we want it to say. We're not looking to hear what we want to hear. A lot of folks have selective hearing. And so they'll go to the Word of God, but they have selective hearing. They're very self-conscious, self-absorbed, and into their will and what they want. And so if you want what you want bad enough, the devil will accommodate you. And he'll accommodate you with a false prophecy. He'll accommodate you with a Scripture out of context. He'll take some kind of thing in the Word of God and make it sound spiritual, but that isn't the heart of God. That's not how God operates. That's not how He works. See, we got to know the heart of God, and you're not going to know the heart of God unless you want the heart of God. You got to want to do His will. You got to want to glorify Him. You got to love Him. Love the truth. Love the Word, and not yourself. Because when you love yourself, you'll turn everything around to the way you want to hear it. That's why Jesus, many times when He ministered, He said, he who has ears to hear, He would conclude what He was teaching by saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Or over in Mark 4, He says, take heed how you hear. Take heed how you hear. We got to watch how we hear. Mark 4, verse 23. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Well, does everybody have ears in this place? But do we have ears to hear? Hear, over in the book of Revelation, says, hear what the Spirit is saying. Hear what God is saying. Hear what the Word is saying. Not just hearing what we want to hear, but hearing the truth. Hearing the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God. And then he says in verse 25, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. So if you're hearing, if you got ears to hear, in other words, you're receiving revelation from God. God is speaking to you. He is giving you understanding of his word. Then more is going to be given to you. More is going to be given to you. And you're going to learn more and more and more and be taught by God. We need to be taught by him. We need to be looking to him today for revelation from his word. Everything in life, we need to put it up against the word. Because how many people know we're confronting spirits all the time. We're confronting lies, deception, darkness all the time. And so we have to be always with it, always on top of things, by always bringing God's word into everything. Bring his word into everything. We need to just get addicted to the word. You know, folks get addicted to all kinds of things in life. And it hurts them. The word will never hurt you. You can never get too much of it. Get addicted to it. You got to have it. I got to have it. I got to have a word fix. I got to hear the word of God. I got to know the truth. And no matter how much we have heard, we need to keep on hearing. We need to keep on hearing because it's just like eating. The word of God is like spiritual food to our spirit. And we have to keep consuming it. We never eat and then say, man, I'm done. I'm never going to eat again. I am full. Or I've eaten that before and, you know, I'm satisfied with that. I don't ever have to eat steak again. Right? We don't say that about natural food. We shouldn't say, well, I've heard that teaching before. I've already got that. I know that. Well, I've heard that before then. And no, when it's working for you, it tastes good. And we're ready for another round. We're ready for another portion of the Word of God. So we want to keep hearing it because we're using it. Because we're not just hearing it. We're doing it. And this is a big danger when people get to the place where they're hearing, but they're not doing. And then there's a deception there. If you're not doing the word of God, it can deceive you into thinking, well, I know it. I know it isn't enough. I do it is what matters. So we need to hear the word and be doers of the word of God. And as we're doing the word of God, the power of God is working in our life. That power is transforming our life. And what's going to happen? It's going to make you hungry for more. If you're burning energy, you're going to want to eat again. If you're just lying around, you know, I don't know. You might just want to eat because you're bored. But you want to eat out of hunger. And how do you get hungry? You burn what you've already eaten. We need to be burning the Bible. Come on, we need to be burning the Bible, using what we're hearing, burning spiritual energy. That's causing the power of God. Power of God is working in us, transforming our life, making us more hungry for more of God's word. Say, I don't really have much of a hunger for the word. You ain't working. You're not burning. Start burning, and you'll start hungering. How many want more hunger for God's word? We need to increase that hunger. How do we get that hunger going? Keep doing it. Be a doer of it. Keep burning the calories. Keep exercising to godliness. Keep working the word. And you're going to have a hunger for more and more and more. And you're going to want to keep putting it in. And you're going to get more. You're going to get more revelation. And you're going to get more revelation. And that's how we grow in our knowledge of him. That's how we grow in our faith. Our faith in God. What does the Bible tell us over in 1 John? This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our feelings, even our opinions, even our experiences. No, what is our victory over the world? Our faith. And what is our faith to be built on? To be built on the Word of God. Faith comes from the word. Let's go to Romans chapter 10 in verse 17. So then, faith comes by a seeing. No. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, there really is no other way for faith to come. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And faith is the victory over the world. In other words, faith is how we have success in this world. If we're going to succeed and have victory in life, then we got to have faith. And faith comes by seeing, feeling, touching. No, by hearing. By hearing, 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 hearing the word of God. Hearing is more important than seeing. Hearing is more important because faith doesn't come by seeing. Faith comes by hearing. It comes by hearing what? The word of God. So we've got to make sure that we are feeding our spirit with the word of God so that we're growing in faith, because faith is what's going to cause us to have success in life. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews the 11th chapter that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Why? Because you can't obey him without faith. You can't receive from him without faith. Doesn't the Bible tell us that over in James chapter 1? It says, when you ask, when you come to God praying and asking for something, he said, you have to ask a certain way. Notice in verse 5, James 1, 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it'll be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. In other words, without faith, you're just being bounced around in life. Without faith, you're just being bounced around in life. That's how important faith is. That's why without it, you can't please God, because you can't receive from him. It didn't say God won't give it to him. It says he can't receive it. He won't be able to receive anything from him. Verse 7, for let not that man suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. Well, now you can see clearly why it wouldn't please God, why it would be displeasing to God for you not to have faith. If you don't have faith, it's going to be displeasing to him, because you're not going to be able to receive anything from him. You're not going to be able to receive instruction from him. You're not going to be able to receive direction from him. But on the flip side of that, if you have faith, you can ask for a thing and know you got it. And you can receive instruction from God. You can receive direction from God. You can receive anything from God. Obeying God becomes easy. If you have faith, everything's difficult. Everything godly, everything that's right, and everything is good is difficult without faith. And a lot of folks are just getting tossed to and fro in life because they're not living life by faith in the word of God, because that's where faith comes from. And a lot of times folks are trying to live off of old faith. Faith they've already burned and used. It's not alive to them. It's not real to them. It's just become mental assenting to the word of God. They're just remembering in their thoughts the word, but it's not living, it's not active in them. Why? Because they haven't taken the time to meditate on it, to chew it, to spend time, to love it, to cherish it. See, we've got to cherish, we've got to love the word of God. Man, it's our food, it's our life, it's our God. You can't say I love God and you don't love his word. Can't say I love God and you don't keep his word. Can't say I love God and don't treasure his word. See, we have to understand that about ourselves. We are easily duped. We are easily deceived. It's humility to know that. Pride thinks, nobody's deceived me. I know exactly what's going on. Okay. Humility says, hey, I'm easily deceived. I'm easily tricked. And therefore, because I know my human weaknesses, I cling to the truth. I cling to God for light and for understanding. And it is light and understanding. And it is protection for me. It keeps me safe. Therefore, I love it. I treasure it. Somebody say, I treasure the word. So we've got to treasure it. Treasure the word of God. Esteem it above everything else. Value it above everything else. So that it's alive to us. See, it can't just be something we heard and it's something in our memory. And then we go, and I could tell there's been times where there's maybe like an infirmity or something tries to mess with me. And I know what the Bible says. And so I say what I know the Bible says. But I could tell there's not much faith there. What do you mean? There's just not much conviction. There's not much feeling behind it. So I got to go back to the Word of God and I got to look at the Scripture. And I got to look at Scripture. I could quote it to you. I mean, I could say it out of memory, but I want to meditate on it. I want to think on it and I want to chew on it. Just like, I mean, I could describe to you what chicken tastes like. You know what I'm saying? I could tell you, you know. Okay, there's fried chicken, you know, there's grilled chicken, there's barbecue chicken, and we could talk about all the different ways we can prepare and eat chicken. I mean, some of you can write a cookbook. But how many people know, just because you can read what's in the cookbook, memorize what's in the cookbook, that doesn't mean you're cooking. And it does not mean you're eating. Right? I mean, you could describe a dish from a cookbook, and yet, have you ever actually eaten it? Well, yeah, I did a long time ago. Okay, well, I'm sure that's long out of your system by now. See, it's the same way spiritually. We got to watch. We're not just quoting recipes. We're eating, we're feeding, and we feel it. You know what I'm saying? And people feel a little differently after they eat than before they eat. Yeah. Right? There's a different, you know when you've eaten. And you know when you haven't eaten. You feel it. Right? It's the same thing with the word. It's the same thing with faith. You know when you got it. And you should know when you don't. You should know when you're quoting a recipe on an empty stomach. And you should know when you're speaking from a full belly. Speak the word from a full belly, from a full spirit. You should know when your spirit's full. And there's been times I've gone to God, I've prayed, and I'm saying the word, but I feel so empty. And it sounds so defeated. I feel defeated. I feel inferior to the problem. I'm intimidated. It's towering over me. And I have to go back and I have to meditate and just chew on the word of God and just think about what he said. Think about what he said. In other words, I'm feeding on it. I'm getting full. I'm getting full on what he said. Getting full on what he said. Not just saying it. Not just saying the recipe to you. Not saying it from memory. I'm getting full of it. Getting full of it. Getting full. And then when I know when I'm full of it. And I know when I'm in faith. And when I'm in faith, I say, in the name of Jesus, it is written, and we're done. That's the way it is. And that's when we see results. That's when your faith causes what you're saying to come to pass. Is when what you're saying is coming from a full spirit. Do you see that? You got to watch. You got to watch. I went to church. That's like saying, I went to the restaurant. Well, what did you eat? I don't really remember. Well, what do you mean you don't remember? Well, they threw some biscuits on the table. I had a couple of those. Okay, what did you order? Well, I didn't order anything in particular. I mean, it was a whole menu. I just read it. So wait a second. You read the menu and you ate those biscuits that they put on the table. And that's it. Yeah, I just had to eat some biscuits And I read the whole thing. I read the whole menu twice. Some people takes them a whole year to read through it. I read through the menu twice. I mean, I heard what was said. In fact, we even had the waiter come over and speak some recipes, some things on the menu right to us. I mean, spoke right to us. Praise God. Did you eat it? Huh? Did you eat it? Did you ingest it? Did it become part of you? How did it make you feel? Well, I enjoyed listening to it. See, folks aren't taking it all in. Are you getting the illustration? You need to be receiving. You need to be eating right now. Are you thinking? Are you meditating? Are you chewing? Are you looking to get full? Got one yes. Tips are not going to be good today, I could tell. Nudge someone next to you and say, make sure you're eating while you're sitting there. Need to be eating. Need to be eating. Need to be eating. That's where religion comes in. We've got to be reminded of these things. That's we have all this religion in the world, all this religious stuff going on, and it's just a bunch of fluff. People aren't filling themselves up because they're not watching themselves. We need to treasure God's word. We need to love God's word. We need to feed on God's word. And if we have a hunger for his word, we're going to know. We're going to know his word. That word's going to come alive to us. We're going to get revelation from the word. And if we're hearing, if we're feeding, if we're eating, we're going to get more and more and more and more. And we're going to grow spiritually because we're using what we're getting. We're putting it to work in our life. We're growing strong. Because we're building our life on the word of God. You got to build everything on the word. Because everything else in the world is temporary. Everything's temporary. Victories, defeats, they come, they go. There's ups, there's downs. Things are changing around us all the time. But the word of our God is never changing. As we said last time, 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 24, it says, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. In other words, man at his best is like a blade of grass, or like a beautiful flower. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. The word endures, it remains, it continues forever. That's what you got to build your life on. How many people want to remain forever? Fill yourself with the word that remains forever. Live your life on the word that remains forever. The word's not changing. The word is not going anywhere anytime soon. Word's not going anywhere. The word is here to stay. But people that are not built on the word, they're tossed to and fro, and they're here, they're there, and then who knows where. They come, they go, they're led by their feelings, they're led by their emotions, they're in, they're out, they're up, they're down, fired up one second, burnt out the next, into it one moment, tired of it the next, up, down, in, out. That's the world. That's people that are not grounded in the word. Things are going great. They're going great as long as things are going great. Everything falls apart, their world falls apart. My whole world fell apart when this happened. My whole world fell apart when that happened. My world ain't going to fall apart as long as the word is my world. Because the word ain't going to fall apart. I said it, the word is not going to fall apart. So you're not going to fall apart if the word is your world. This is the world we live in. We live in God's world. We live in God. We're conscious of him. We're caught up in him. Caught up in what he thinks, what he says. Because what he thinks, what he says is the way it is. There's no missing it in God. There's no error in him. And there's no error in the word. Think about that. There's no error in the Word of God. Notice over in Psalm chapter 12. I mean, there's people that are out there teaching. They'll say, well, see now, Paul the Apostle, when he wrote that, he didn't understand. Bibbidi bobbidi boo. It's like, hey, yes, Paul wrote it, he penned it, but they're not his words. They're God's word. All right, go to 1 Peter then. Or is that 2 Peter? Hold your place there, and where did I say go? Psalm. Well, let's read Psalm first. Let's just one thing at a time. I mean, I'm all over the word today. Isn't that exciting? We're all over the menu. You know, this is kind of like Cheesecake Factory. Right? I mean, they got everything. I mean, you want it, it's a Cheesecake Factory. This is better than Cheesecake Factory this morning. We're everywhere. Very exciting. Psalm 12. Let's start there. Watch this. In verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Glory to God. God's word is proven. God's word has been tested and tested and tested and found true. It is the truth. But people come along, they try to humanize the word. They just try to make it where, you know, just men wrote it. But men are not the authors of the Bible. There are many writers, but there's only one author. And it's in 2 Peter chapter 1, we see that. Notice in verse 19. Well, let me jump down to verse 20. Verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. How many people have ever heard that one before? Well, everybody's got their own interpretation of the Bible. Well, see what Paul was trying to say there. What he really meant was, well, you see, Paul just didn't know some things like we know today. And people reason with it as though it's just the words of men. And if it was just the words of men, then yeah, it's open to all kinds of personal, private interpretations. But it says, no, prophecy of Scripture is not of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, never came by the will of Paul the Apostle. But holy men of God, that'd be like Paul the Apostle, spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So it was the Holy Spirit that inspired them to say and to write the things that they wrote down, the things that they've recorded. It was the Spirit of God that inspired it. It did not just come from mere man. God's word came from God. God's word has been proven. It is time-tested, battle-tested, and it has been found the truth. And the word testifies of itself, saying, man, it's gone through a furnace of earth. It has been purified 7 times over. Man, it is reliable. It is completely trustworthy. It is dependable. There's nothing in the world like that. I said, there's nothing in the world like that. This is what you want to tie your boat to. This is what you want to drop your anchor into. You understand? This is it right here, the Word of God. You build your life, your thought life, on the Word of God. Make sure your thinking is in line with the Bible. You got to renew your mind. You got to change your thinking by coming over here to the Word of God. Let God teach you. Let God, His Word, establish your thoughts. Too many times people walk around, well, I feel led, I feel this, I feel that, and it doesn't line up. Their actions are not consistent with the Word of God. But if you want to be a stable, steadfast, solid person that's not going to be here today, gone tomorrow, not going to be up one moment, down the next, moved all around by the circumstances, conditions of life, what other people are saying, what other people do, we're not to be just reacting to everybody else. We're to be anchored in the Word of God, not reacting to everything else that everybody else is saying and doing. What does the Word say? That's what I say. But you got to understand, you know, the facts are this. Yeah, but the truth is this. Thank you for your facts, but I got news for you. Facts can change. The fact is they put water in those pots. The truth is it was turned to wine. The facts changed. The truth changed the facts. Right? The facts of this. Science teaches this. Great. Well, the Bible teaches this. I'm going to stay with the Bible. How many people know science, they get things a little messed up once in a while. You listen to them, they'll have you climbing up trees. Thinking you evolved from something. If you believe that's where you came from, then that's where you'll end up. Now, we're going to stay with the truth. Don't let the facts impress you. Let the truth impress you. Let God's Word be what impresses you. We need to be grounded firmly in the Word of God. Over in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5. Jesus, who is the Word, made flesh, said this. Verse 17. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Notice that. The Word's not going anywhere. The Word's not going anywhere. Let me read this from another translation, the CEB translation. I say to you very seriously that as long as heaven and earth exist, neither the smallest letter nor even the smallest stroke of a pen will be erased from the law until everything there becomes a reality. Somebody say, God's Word's not going anywhere. Anytime soon. Not going anywhere. Not going anywhere. Heaven and earth can pass away before God's Word goes anywhere. Think about that. The GNT translation. Remember that as long as heaven and earth last, not the least point nor the smallest detail of the law will be done away with. Not until the end of all things. So everything has to be done before the Word's done. It's not happening. I said it's not happening. Jesus wants us to understand this is what we need to build our life on. Not on flaky opinions. Not on the culture of today in our society, in the world around us. Everything that we do, how we think, what we believe, what we do, all needs to be grounded in the Word. We need to have scriptural support for everything we say and do in life. I said we need to have scripture support for everything we say and do in life. Otherwise, what's supporting what we're saying and doing? What's supporting us? And people could talk so strong about things. That's not what convinces me. Today, people are convinced by a person's performance. If they get up and they sound convincing, and there's no substance. There's no substance. But faith is the substance that we're building our life on. And it's the substance that comes from the Word of God. Can you say amen? Say, the Word is my navigation equipment and my navigator through this life. We need the Word to navigate us. We plot our course. We plot our days. And we come back to what the Word says. This is so powerful because when things seem to go wrong and it seems like God didn't come through for us, we just come back to God, the Word. We just come back to the Word because what He said is the way He is. He has not changed. So if He said it's a certain way, that's the way it is. And it's really very insulting to God to not believe His Word, to not believe Him. I mean, wouldn't you be insulted if you said something and you meant it and you are honest and sincere and the person didn't believe you? They just looked at you and said, we don't believe you. And you're like, and what you're saying is the absolute truth? That's how it is. God has spoken to us. Do we believe Him? Well, I would believe Him, but it just doesn't look that way. It just didn't go that way. It did not turn out. It did not turn out the way I believed. Well, how did you believe? Did you believe in line with the Word? Are you believing in line with the Word? Well, it just did. I tried that. You don't try the Bible. I said, you don't try the Bible. You trust the Bible. You believe the Bible, and you never stop believing the Bible. You're committed to it. You know, just like that time that spider bit me. Late at night, I don't know what it was. Tarantula. I don't know what it was. It's in the middle of the night. I was out in Oklahoma, out on this desert area. Tumbleweeds flying by. And this creature in the middle of the night bit me. It was darker than the darkness in the room. And I kicked my leg, and it bit me a couple more times. And I felt electric shocks go through my body. And I jumped up, and I figured I had to see this thing. I had to identify the thing that bit me so I could tell the doctor what it was. And the thing ran into the crack in the wall. And I went into this sweat, and I thought I was going to pass out. And I started quoting, I said, no weapon formed against me will prosper me in the name of Jesus. I'll tread upon serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. Let my enemy hurt me in the name of Jesus. I'm quoting the scriptures and I'm quoting the Word. By His stripes I'm healed in the name of Jesus. And I'm running around looking for the keys to the truck to get to the hospital because I'm in total fear and there's no faith. But I'm quoting scripture like a machine gun. You understand what I'm saying? I'm firing scripture out, man. It's coming out of me. But I'm as full of fear as anything can be. I'm as empty as can be. I am not full of that Word. I get in the truck and I'm about ready to put it in drive. And I mean, I'm sweating. I'm getting dizzy. And the devil said to me, he said, now you're really going to die. He said, you're going to pass out driving this truck, go right off the side of the road and really be dead. I thought, I'm in trouble, you know. I felt trapped. And then I just sat there for a moment because I figured driving might not be the best thing to do right now. I got quiet for a moment. I turned the machine gun off. And this thought came to me. He said, you know, either what you're saying is true or it's not. Either what you're saying is true or it's not. I turned the engine off, got out there on the driveway. I said, Lord, I said, you know, either what I'm saying is true or it's not. And so either I'm healed, or I'm going to die here praising you that I am, that I'm healed. And I just started praising Him. Praise God forever and ever. I wasn't really afraid of dying. But I just began to praise Him rather than just, by the strength of the healing, no, before I get, I began to thank Him and praise Him for what He did for me. And He's so real and He's so awesome. And I have His Word. Glory be to God. I have His Word on this. Praise God forever. Next thing I know, I just kind of forgot about myself. And every symptom left, and the fear left, the chills left. I looked down, there wasn't even a mark on my leg. I mean, it was over. Right there at that point. You know, either what you're saying is true or I'm going to die here believing it. I'm going to die here believing it and speaking it. Now, the truth is, you're not going to die if you're believing that you'll live. Can you say amen? Because that's what he promised. He said, you'll live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Hallelujah. Man, the word didn't go anywhere. A whole flurry of things happened suddenly. But it came back to it. The Bible's the truth. The Bible's the truth. The Bible never changed. What God said is true. I mean, I believe the Lord showed me that, you know, there's a lot of folks that have died, Christians. And thank God they were saved, born again, children of God, and are in heaven today. Sure beats going to hell, right? They're in heaven today, but they died of a sickness or a disease or some other plague or whatever. And it's like I could just see the Lord approaching them when they get up in heaven. And I kind of played this out in my mind one time too when I was going through something. And I just kind of played this out. I believe the Lord was showing this to me. You know, I just see myself standing before him saying, Lord, why am I here? I mean, you know, why am I here prematurely? I shouldn't be here yet. And he'd look at me and he'd say, by whose stripes you were healed. And then I'd respond, Lord, I know you said that. I was reading that in the Bible when I died. But I didn't get healed. And then his response would be, yeah, but I said you were. I said you were. See, a person's failures in life does not nullify. A Christian's failures in life does not nullify what God said. People get very uptight about this kind of thing. Because you're saying that it's our fault. You're saying it's Charlie's fault that he went to heaven. He was a good man. Calm down. Don't get offended over Charlie. Because I can get offended at you over the word. Let's not put Charlie above the word. I know Charlie was a God-fearing man. You know Charlie like you know yourself, which isn't very well. But God knows everything. Don't be offended. I don't know myself very well either. That's okay. I'm getting to know him. We find ourselves when we find him. Because you're nothing apart from him. So if you find yourself apart from him, you found nothing. This is deep theology today. Did you get that? Go back and get the tape. I'm not repeating it. You snooze, you lose. You found nothing. If you found yourself apart from him, we find ourselves in the word. We find ourselves in him. So as we find him, we find out who we are because we were created in his image and his likeness. We were created to be vessels for him to flow through. So that's how we find ourselves. We find him. We don't take a long drive to California and drive around the mountaintops for a while trying to find ourselves. I'm going to go out into the desert and find myself. No, go into the Bible. I mean, it looks spiritual, right? You put a big robe on. Congregation, I'm going to leave for 2 weeks, maybe a month. I'm going to go up into the mountains. I'm going to go find myself. I'm going to go find God. Everybody go, ooh, man, that's really cool. You know, pastor's spiritual. Then come to find out he didn't take his Bible with him. What are you doing up there in the mountains? Learning about the kangaroo? The wild beasts? You might come home one. Come home, my hair's all long. I'm shabby. I was watching the gorillas, and I learned some things about God and who we are as humans. I learned many things about us. I was meditating with Mother Nature. You don't learn from Mother Nature. You teach Mother Nature. You learn from God. You humans learn from God, and you teach nature about God and how it's supposed to be. Didn't Jesus do that? Right? He went out on the boat. Storm came. He said, no. No storm now. Peace. And nature went, okay, we didn't know. We thought now would be a good time. It seemed like the hot and the cold was mixing just right. And Seemed like the winds were, no, okay. Peace be still. We're supposed to be teaching creation. Creation's not supposed to be teaching us. We're learning from him. We're learning from the creator of creation. Why would you be sitting at the feet of Mother Nature? Learning from creation. Not learning from creation. We're learning from the creator. And we teach creation. Well, I could show you some more scriptures. Romans 8. Everything I say has to have scriptural context. Got to be in scriptural context. Romans 8, verse 20. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. And not only they, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. What's he saying there? He's saying creation's waiting on us. When we get it right, when we become transformed into the sons of God who are led by the Spirit of God, full of the Word of God, creation itself will be delivered. As we're delivered, creation's delivered. As we're set free, we set creation free. That's how it works. We're not waiting on creation. Creation's waiting on us. And we need to be waiting on God. Waiting on the Lord. As in sitting before him. Not like waiting for him to do something, but sitting before him. Serving him like a waiter. Serving him. Serving his word. Delighting ourselves in his word. Delighting ourselves in the law of God. In the truth. And God's word is law. You understand that? People get uptight about law. God's word is law. It's absolute. It is absolute. It is not changing. It works all the time. It's a law. It's not a wish. It's not a hope. It's a law. And it works all the time. Whenever it's worked, it works. So if things aren't working right, things didn't work out for Charlie. I'm sorry for Charlie, but I'm going to stay with the word. And I could miss it. And I could fall short of God's best. And there's been plenty of times where I'm quoting stuff. I can quote scripture out of my head. But then I'd go back to the word. I'll feed on until I get full of it. Till that word is living in me. But I don't trust in me. I don't trust in my faith. My faith trusts in the Word of God. See what I'm saying? I don't get over trusting in my faith. I'm going to trust in, my faith trusts in the Word of God. The Word needs to be the final authority in our life. The final authority in your life. It has the last say in everything. 2 Peter chapter 1. Now let's look at this first part. We looked at verse 20. Let's look at verse 19. He says, we also have the prophetic word made more sure, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. And notice, what is he saying there? He says, we also have the prophetic word made more sure. Now, more sure than what? Well, you got to put it in its context. He's describing a time, this is Peter, he's describing the time that he was with Jesus on top of the mountain where a great cloud came in and God the Father spoke audibly out of that cloud. He spoke out of that cloud. He said, this is my beloved son, listen to him. And he says it here in 1 Peter, he says, 2 Peter, he says, and we heard this voice. We saw the cloud. This is an amazing experience. We heard God's voice. We saw the cloud. Jesus was transfigured right in front of us. Light began to shine out of him. Then Moses and Elijah appeared in the glory. And they began to speak to Jesus. I mean, we had this amazing experience with God. And after sharing that, he says, verse 19, we also have the prophetic word, talking about the scriptures, the written word, made more sure. More sure, which you do well to heed. In other words, he's saying, more sure than this amazing scripture, we're with Jesus in the flesh. What can be better than that? We're with Jesus in the flesh. God the Father appears in a cloud. We hear his voice like thunder come out of the cloud, speak to us and say, this is my beloved son, listen to him. Moses and Elijah show up. I mean, this is like an extremely spiritual experience. If somebody came in here today and said, I had an experience, and their face is glowing, you look at them and go, they did, something happened to them. I mean, their face is glowing. And they said, I had a vision. And Jesus came walking right in. He put his hand on my shoulder. He spoke something. Moses and Elijah came walking up behind him. Peter, James, and John were there. And we sat down for about an hour, and they taught me all kinds of heavenly things. You want to hear about it? How many people are like, yeah. You want me to tell you about it? How many people have some questions? What colors were Jesus? What was the color of Jesus' eyes? How tall was he? People would ask all kinds of great questions. Some of you don't think that's amusing. They come in here, they're glowing. They just had this experience. God, Jesus, manifested, spoke to them for an hour. We'd all be excited to hear that. Friend, I got news for you. We got something even better this morning. We got something even better. We got something more sure. It's more reliable, more dependable. It's been through the fire. It's been in the furnace. It's been tested. It's not changing. It's not going anywhere. Not a period or a comma is going to be removed. This thing is pure. It is perfect. And this is God speaking to you. Friend, I got news for you. It's the Bible. And it's greater than any kind of vision anyone could have. Now, visions would be exciting. I welcome them. The Bible teaches we can have them, and people do have them. But you build your life not on a vision or an experience. You build your life on the Word of God. And the truth of the matter is, if you're sticking with the Word, if you got the Word on it, you probably don't need any kind of special visitation or special kind of manifestation. If you've got the word on it. For example, one time I was lying in my bed and I said, Lord, I said, you speak to me about so many different things. And there was this one particular trial, man. It was just going on and on and on and on. And I said, Lord, please say something to me about this. I mean, you give me words to minister to people. I'm asking you for this. I want to know about this. What about this situation? And I fell off to sleep, and just as I was half asleep, half awake, the words come into my mind, you have a more sure word that you do well to heed. And it came in a very disappointed voice. Very disappointed voice, like, I have to tell you this? Mr. Bible man? Mr. Word man? I have to tell you this? Like, I've already spoken to you about this. What do you mean you need to hear from me about? God, I need to hear from you about this. Everything I needed to hear, I already knew. It was in the Bible. But I was looking for something else, which means I wasn't believing that's him talking to me. Now, in his mercy, he spoke to me in that way by bringing his word to my remembrance. But I should have known better. Should have known better. And there's no guarantee that next time something happens and I get off his word, that he's going to come and he's going to say something else, because he expects us to take him at his word. So before we say, God, show me this. God, tell me about this. God, why aren't you talking to me about this? Are you listening to him talk to you through the word, through the scriptures. Because that's where that's the primary place he's going to meet with you and talk with you. And guys, I've had an experience with God today. I read my Bible. How many want to have an experience with God? Woo, hallelujah. Forget the mountains. Read the Bible. It's an experience with God. It's a visitation. I got news to you. We had a visitation with Jesus today. Jesus came to church today. The Word came to church today. And by the Spirit of God, that Word was manifested in our midst. We have heard it. We have received it. And it is changing the way we do things. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If you agree with that, say it with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I believe the Word. Thank you for visiting with me today. Meeting with me, talking to me, revealing truth to me, revealing yourself to me. I receive it. I believe it. I embrace it and am determined to do it in the name of Jesus. Thank you for helping me to be a doer of the word, to study it, know it more than anything else. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.